Pastor Ray Peterson.
Thank you.
Oops.
I need this light up here, so I'm probably going to end up donating it to this ministry because they need a light. I don't see real great, but I am blessed to be here tonight, this afternoon, or this morning. Look, I missed it twice. Well, I'll tell you. Okay, so I'm going to be in Luke chapter 1. So want to open in prayer again. What I keep learning from the Lord is, as I was sharing, surrendering and yielding to the Lord's will in my life. And been, you know, doing this study for a few weeks. But, you know, the more time I spend with the Lord in prayer and seeking Him and seeking His will, I come to realize I need Him more and more every day. And I see that. I see that out of this study. But there's a human part of this element or this relationship. You know, I have to be broken constantly because I'm rebellious. I am rebellious. I got that nature in me. And, you know, the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And both are contrary to one another. You've got this battle going on sometimes in you. And though you are walking with the Lord, you know, you're challenged almost every day. And I realize that. So, Father God, as we come before you today is your day. And, Lord, as we were up early and we were fellowshipping and singing and praising you and glorifying you, we're offering that incense, those praises and that thanksgiving for this time, Lord, that you would be in our midst. You have been here, and you are pouring out your Spirit upon us. I thank you for that. And Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and the secret counsels that belong to the righteous. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this time. Be in our midst. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let me clean my windows. I got a little bit too much food in them. I'm going to start at Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. And this is Luke, and he is Dr. Luke, okay? And he is that kind of like a coroner or a person who reports in a medical fashion. He's a witness, okay? Just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. He is very factual. He's got this medical background. He's very in tune with what is going to be shared. It seemed good to me also, having have perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Now, we don't know much about Theophilus, you know, but he must have been somebody who was important to the body of Christ, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. And he's perpetuating this instruction, this knowledge. And then, verse 5, and this is John's birth announced to Zacharias. That's, you know, the title. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Now I want you to note this. They were both righteous. Now, when you practice, being a Jew, in that time and following these commands and regulations and rules and washings and all these things, and here he is, Zacharias, a priest, just a priest, you begin to understand, whoa, this guy's walking righteous. This guy, that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now this, you guys, is really hard to do, isn't it? If you're not filled in the Spirit, guess what? You're going to be struggling with all the washings and the regulations and the rules. And these are under the Ten Commandments. So, this is pretty incredible. But how could they do this? How could they do this if they didn't have the Spirit of God? And I kind of bring that to your attention. This is a different. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. That tells you so much of the burden that they were carrying. See, in that day, if you were barren, you were unfruitful. And here they were supposed to be what? Righteous. And in whose sight were they righteous? God's sight. Because this is the Word of God. He knew their hearts. He knew their actions. He knew who they were. And you begin to understand and you say, well, does He know me? Does He know who I am? Yeah, He does. He knew you in your mother's womb. And so, here He is. He's walking right. And they were both well advanced in years. That means when people perceive you coming, say, oh, there's Elizabeth, and this happens among women. Oh, there's Elizabeth. She's not fruitful. She's not holy. Really? That's our hearts. That's us. We condemn and we judge and we stand back and we think we're righteous. But this is not the case. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, and he's not one of the high-ranking priests. He's the lowest-ranking priest. He's doing the minimal jobs, maybe twice a year. In my studies, I was realizing, well, they were doing the work. But here he is. He's in the temple. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That was his job. Maybe twice a year, maybe a little bit more. In verse 10, and in the whole multitude of the people, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. It was a routine. It was a minimal job in a sense, but in another sense, he took it seriously. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. I want you to consider something. Who's at the right hand of the Father? Jesus. Where did this angel come from? The Lord. In His presence. Kind of speaks to my heart that, this guy was carrying such a burden. such a heavy-duty burden. Everybody's thinking, oh, they're not walking righteous. They're not holy. He's a priest, yeah, we acknowledge that, you know. But positionally, who is he? He's just a priest. He and his wife were unfruitful. God hasn't blessed them. We find that in the body of Christ today. We get judged on these things. Oh, you're not holy enough. Oh, you can't walk in our crowd. It makes you consider what the Lord really sees here. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And what is the incense? Anybody know?
Huh?
Prayers.
Prayers?
What? Worship? Praise? Thanksgiving? Correct? And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. He's been beat up pretty good, hasn't he? Over all these years. He's an old guy. He's already been deemed, what, unfruitful. He and his wife. We'll let you serve over here. Okay. But he was faithful. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled. And fear fell upon him. Now this is us. This is all us. We're fearful. We're afraid of our own shadow. And I see this. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Now, this is an old guy, and I'm an old guy. Okay, I'm 70, you know, 67. I am dyslexic, so I do that on occasion. So 67 years of age. Okay. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard." What? God's up there, and he hears Zechariah's prayer, he and his wife. "And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Awesome. Why did God do this? I asked myself. So why did you do this, Lord? Why did you take so long? But as they say, and I've heard, God's timing is perfect. His will be done. And guess what? I was thinking about this and I go, Lord, you had to match this pregnancy with the coming of the Lord. You had to do this. This is your handiwork. You know, when Mary and Elizabeth met, did the baby jump? Yeah. Praise God. So this story is kind of like, oh my gosh. "And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard.'" A lot of you guys, I want to share this with you. You feel like your prayers are not being answered. You've just heard silence in heaven. But as I want to exhort you, God has his perfect timing. He intercedes on your behalf. He hears your prayers. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed or confused. I am God. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Who is that righteous right hand? Jesus. I love this. As I study this, I just couldn't get more and more. But the angel is even exhorting Zechariah, "But out of this, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Thank you, Lord. There's joy and gladness coming. Is there joy and gladness coming in the body of Christ?
Yes.
At the coming of the Lord? Yes. We sometimes act like, oh, this world's falling apart. What am I going to do? You know? I mean, we try to carry it on. We can't. But we know who's on the throne. Jesus. So how's my time? Okay. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now, you look at Zechariah. Unfruitful. That's the way some of us, you mentioned your testimony. We feel very unfruitful. Sure. We don't look like much, do we? In a lot of people's eyes. But in the Lord's eyes, He knows your prayers. He knows all the prayers that your grandmother has prayed for you. My grandmother prayed for me. And God resurrected me out of what? Death. Out of suicide. So only by His hand. It's His. The glory goes to the Lord. I can't claim that. That's not mine. And He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before Him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. I think of that scripture for all of us. We were disobedient, rebellious, and we needed that hope. You guys were talking about U-turn for Christ. I look at it as where the great physician is. And He's there. He's ministering to our souls. He's feeding us. He's giving us hope. He will also go before Him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah, as fleshy as I am, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man." There are times when I am that old man. The old man. That sinful old man. That doubting old man. That fearful old man. We were both talking about that earlier. That old flesh comes up right away. "And my wife is well advanced in years." Here comes the excuses. Right before the angel of the Lord. Where did this message come from? It's the Word of God. It came from the throne of God. "And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." Is he raining on the Lord's parade? Yeah, I'd say so. The Lord's brought him these glad tidings from the throne of God. We do that when we fear and doubt. When we don't trust God's word. We dismiss our prayers. Oh, well. Oh, he hasn't heard me. Later on, Mary says what? With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. You put out some prayers you even forgot about. I want to challenge you guys. You dismiss them. You put them away. But where do they go? They go to the throne of God. We have a prayer ministry. Okay? Sometimes it's hard to get everybody's prayer. Sometimes I forget. You know, it's crazy. but I see God's faithfulness in answering prayer because I'm dealing with it on an ongoing basis. It's amazing. But behold, you will, he says, and the angel answered, and he's giving these glad tidings in verse 20, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day of these things take place, because you, here we go, did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. That's us, isn't it? Zacharias is us. We're supposed to be what? Kings and priests. Ministering the Word of God. Ministering the Word of God. We have been given that opportunity to share this gospel. And like I see that lady in the elevator as I was talking about earlier. She's so unpresentable. She's so lost. But wasn't that me at one time? Yeah. So, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they were perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. When you hear that word of God, does the Holy Spirit prompt you to share it, to minister to it? Now, I'm almost done. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. Five is that number of grace. Saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. There's that reproach, that judgment. You're unfruitful. That was a reproach. Don't we suffer reproach and condemnation by people? Yes, all the time. You were what? You did what? That was me. Let's jump over to, and I'm going to try to finish this right away. The Malachi Papers. It's right before Matthew. And on this sheet, if you guys feel like doing this study, 70 weeks diagram of Daniel. That's cool. If you want to get involved with that, that's just kind of gives you a diagram of Daniel, 7 weeks, 49 years, 62 weeks, 434 years. I broke it down, but this is kind of from Daniel all the way to the end. Okay, the 70th week begins Daniel 9:27. But out of this, Malachi 1 through 4, condemnations of priesthood, and chapter 3:1, prophecy of John the Baptist, my messenger. Okay? And this, okay, I'd love to do a full study on this. The start of 400 years of silence. This is really critical. End of Old Testament and Jerusalem restored. And I'll just kind of really quick run through this because I got about a minute. So sinful has the nation become of God's words of the people no longer have any impact. For 400 years after Malachi's ringing condemnations, God remains silent. There's a period of silence because people, priests, rejected God's word. They had their own counsel. They were into sorcery. They were into other things in the temple. God remained silent only with the coming of John the Baptist, prophesied in chapter 3, verse 1. does God again communicate to His people through the prophet's voice. And we're going to jump over to 3:1. And this scripture should speak to your hearts. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand in when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that he may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Verse 4. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. Remember, who was that? This sacrifice. Who was this? Then the offering of Judah. That was Zechariah. Now, I can't confirm this. I've been studying it. But he's the first one after the 400 years. You got it? God used Zechariah. And what did Zechariah do? He hindered the word. And he was mute. 400 and how many months through the pregnancy? Interesting. But God's word will not be delayed. So my last thoughts in Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Do you need the Lord today? Is there any of you guys who need Jesus Christ? Yes. Amen. And if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now is an opportunity to receive Him. Is there anybody? I'll wait a few seconds. If you've had doubts and fears, anxieties about that, you're holding back, the Holy Spirit's probably speaking to your heart right now. Don't hold back. Let it go. Zechariah was restored. He couldn't speak. But later on, he sings a song. And Elizabeth and Mary both sing songs. It's a blessing. We rejoice in the word of the Lord. Okay, we're going to go ahead and say thank you, Lord, for the blessings of your word today. And Lord, we can bring all our requests to you into your throne room. We have access. We have that privilege to come before you and to lift up our prayers and our lives. Our lives are becoming living sacrifices to you, Jesus, to glorify you and to praise you. We thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you would just help us, go with us, guide us, and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to do communion real quick. Super fingers. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Okay. Let's examine ourselves really quick here. Lord Jesus, there's a lot of things that we do. And we sometimes sin. We think that we don't sin, but we do sin in our hearts and in our actions, the things that we omit. Lord, examine us through your Spirit. Help us to turn to you right now and to yield. Open our hands and yield these unrighteous things in our lives. And forgive us. Establish us, Lord, through your word. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you. This is, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Okay, take your towel, your bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat this in my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So take this bread and consume it. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Go ahead. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We thank you, Lord, for tonight, today. And help me get my timing straight. And thank you for this time of fellowship and blessings, Lord. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you.